Deviled eggs?
Oh, don't mind if I do. I've got the terrible farts.
I have the terrible farts. Have you started recording now?
Have you? Oh, look, he's doing a little look. He's doing a little look like he has. Have you?
I refuse to join this podcast until you fucking step in line and behave yourself.
What do I need to do to behave myself?
Be a human being right out the gate before you go all wibbly wobbly brain bong, all right? I just want a bit of normal from you.
Okay, then.
Just be a man. Be an honest man. Do it. Be an honest man with a real name. Be an honest man with a real name and just give me Eli. Just give me Eli. That's all I want right now. I don't want Captain Flap from the planets. I don't want Egyptian Pete. I don't want Alistair Ding Dong.
No,
I don't want any of those fucking characters.
You've literally said Bing Bong and Ding Dong already.
I know. I've let myself down.
You so have.
It's funny how I quickly come up against the wall with my imagination when it comes to names.
Mm.
Challenge me.
Come up with a name. This name is the name of someone who works in a newsagent in 1974.
Gary Thatcher.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. What are you? You want the sun? You want the sun, son? I'll give you the sun,
do you
son.
Want the
Look in the mirror, son. Do you want to see the sun, son? Do you want the copy of the sun? Page three, mate. Ooh, page three. In the sun. Only in the sun. You're right, son. How about that, Gary Thatcher? Racist corner shop, man.
Great.
Yeah?
Great, Paul. I'm not...
Give me another character to get a name to. I'm enjoying this.
Okay. How about someone who delivers millet in the 80s to health food stores?
Philippa Seed.
See, millet and seed. You've fallen
down a trap.
That's
what I thought I'd do, though.
All right. Come on, give me a go.
Philippa Fingerbash. What's wrong with that?
There's so much wrong with that. Oh,
I don't know what that was. Yeah. I'm sorry, that was awful. I don't know what that was. I'll give you one. All right, okay.
Put that thing into a bag,
right.
Though.
Yeah.
Fucking muffle it. Muffle it. Yeah.
Dead. Done.
It's leaky.
Right, one more. All right, I'll give you a character then. All right, give me... All right, okay. I want you to give me a character. Don't care about the sex of it. Give me a character who's...
Who mentioned that? No one's mentioned
that. I'm saying that. I'm giving
you
a carte blanche.
This is fucking flagrant bigotry.
I'm giving you a carte blanche to do anything you want with. So,
carte blanche.
Carte blanche, right? So I want you to give me a character who's obsessed with the post office and stamps. You've got nothing.
No, I've got it.
Go on.
I had to think about it. Neil McIver.
Neil McIver.
Yes.
Mm.
Hello there.
You thought you'd just name it after my granddad, would you? That's a weird name to pull from the ether.
Was your granddad interested in stamps like I am?
No.
I'm Neil McIver. Hello and welcome to Stamps Today with
this
me.
This got weird now.
Neil McIver.
No, I don't like it.
I'm beyond the grave McIver.
You take my granddad's name out of your mouth!
Ah!
Right, we're starting the show!
Press the fucking credits.
Welcome to Cheap Show.
Sources and words and phrases. Two things I'm responsible for.
Chodney Borough.
I hate you. You're fucking evil posse.
Cheap Show time.
It's the price of shite.
Cheap Show.
Welcome to Cheap Show.
Why, good day to you, no matter what day to you it is. Good day to you, no matter what the time of the day to you it is. Good day to you.
It's time today for the time.
Good day to you. It is Cheap Show time. It's the time of the day you've put aside to listen to us for an hour or so. Welcome in. It's the Economy Comedy Podcast where I, Paul Gannon, and my good chummity...
Eli Silverman, hello.
...go through the treasure of the trapdoors and the nip-nops. I've gone and lost it. Nip-nops. Paul, really?
Oh,
dear.
Really?
Oh, dear.
The treasure, everyone, that we find amongst the trash. Okay?
Is that old? I think it's a Greek saying, isn't it? Where you'll find ruin, you find chance of treasure.
Tranche. Now you're talking.
The tranche of treasure.
In the ruins, you find a tranche of treasure. Do you know where else you find a tranche of fucking treasure?
In your gullet.
In my fucking gusset.
Yeah, in your gusset.
That's a nice word, isn't it?
Anyway, hello.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the podcast. This week, it is more economy comedy joy as we try some cheap eats, some leftovers from Eli's trip to America, and we've got a Paul's Platters, I guess you could call it.
It's Paul's Platters, and also Paul.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we do something with the records and we don't have... Is he charged, or has he been charged up?
All I know is that the last I spoke to Trackbot... He had spent £750 getting professional cleaners in to power wash his booth clean.
How did he get called them? He hasn't got internet access.
Well, no, because Room Tone phoned up for him.
Why is that guy hanging out here?
He's just here to settle things down and get a bit of peace and quiet every now and then, Room Tone.
Peace and quiet?
Now, luckily, I've forgotten his voice, so we can't do him this week.
Good.
Oh, was he like this? Oh.
He was a bit like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Everybody shut up. Shut up, everyone. And... Thank you, everyone. I'll go.
Okay, bye-bye. Yes, good.
Yeah, anyway, now I paid for... I've got the power. Oh, yes, I got the power. Power cleaner man in, and they sprayed it with their
Why
nozzle.
Are you hanging out here, though?
Oh, why can't I?
Fine.
I'll sit over there. I won't say a word, mate.
Okay.
I'll just bring some Room Tone.
Fine, thanks, Room Tone. Why do they all have to...
What's he doing?
He's wanking off, Paul. Fucking tell him to. He has to go in the in another chamber.
Let me throw a blanket over him.
Oh, mate.
Come here, you.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
I've just put a sheet over him. Okay, he can get away with it if he wants.
Oh, Room Tone.
Hello, everyone. Now.
Right, he's done now. He'll be quiet.
He's you, Paul.
He's not well. Aren't they all me? Aren't they all me in some respect?
Paul.
Why don't you just get straight to the meat and guts of it and give us a Tales from the Dance Floor, which is what we're going to get to, aren't we, now, anyway?
Tales from the Dance Floor. What's that really famous Adele tune?
Hello.
Rolling something.
Rolling down the river.
Are you going to be complete... I'm going to fucking turn him
Hello
on in a second.
Hello from the other side. That one, isn't it?
I'm going to turn Trackbot on in a minute if you don't help me in a serious way.
All right.
Because he'll be just as good. No, please.
I am Trackbot.
Trackbot, what's that famous Adele song with rolling in the title?
Let Trackbot tell all. Adele is known for itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
Very good. Thank you very much. You're very much valued round here, Trackbot.
I'm off to a party now with Tony Blackburn. Not off.
No, mate, that's Freeman, isn't it? It's Alan Freeman, that one. And he's been dead for a while.
Oh.
Paul, get him back in the fucking pod now.
Trackbot going back to his clean pod.
It's not going to be clean for long.
It's clean as whistle.
Listen, I just went to the loo.
Oh, Room Tone's been in here.
Yeah, Room Tone chucked his muck in there already.
Oh, yeah, while you were out.
And the Randy dog will be here any second.
Yeah, right.
And he's going to bring the wreckage. That Randy dog will fucking spray mount the whole fucking deal. Right.
I have just cleaned this. What have you done?
Trackbot.
A little cheeky wank, didn't I?
Oh, my God, you
little
two.
A cheeky wank while you were doing the record thing. I popped in and a little knocked one out.
Room Tone.
Buff, buff.
It's fine if you want to stay here, okay?
Yeah.
But.
Oh.
But.
Why must you make my place mucky?
Where have you been sleeping?
Oh.
Room Tone, this is directed to.
Yeah, I know. We're looking in my eyes.
I know. Oh. Where have you been sleeping?
Mostly bus stops, really.
Okay, do you want to stay here then? Is it official you can stay in the podcast, yeah?
Well, no, this is my place we're recording in today, and it's not for you to say if you can stay in my room.
Yeah, but Paul, I'm talking about the podcast as a sort of imaginary space.
Is it?
It was before. It had all the segment train.
Yeah, but we blew that up. That's in another universe. This is just normal fucking reality. We record at your place or mine
okay,
now.
Okay, fine. Right? Well, all right, fine.
I mean, if we're
so
pitching...
So Room Tone,
if we're pitching new places to fictionally own the podcast and broadcast from, I vote for a cruise ship, but we'll put that pin in that one.
Room Tone is then in the ether around
HMS
us.
Cheap Show. Boop, boop.
Boop, boop. What is everything? Every vehicle to you goes bing, bing.
It doesn't go bing, bing, does it?
What does a bus go, Paul?
Bing, bing.
And what does a train go?
Chuff, chuff.
Yeah. They all go bing, bing, toot, toot.
They don't, no.
They do.
A train's meant to go chuff, chuff, isn't it?
What about a boat going...
Well, a boat would do that. It's like that, isn't it?
Right. Have you put the characters away now?
Trackbot's going back
Go
to
back
it.
In the bed.
Oh, right on my bed. He made a muck on my bed.
Yes, he did.
Oh.
You befriended him.
He's in the pod now. He's
good,
right.
Yes. He's powered down. He'll be back out, no doubt.
He's going to wake up with spunk on his face where he had put his head on
I'm
the pillow.
You, anyway. I tried to get that dog away from here.
Yeah.
He's lurking around the toilet area.
I saw Roomtone riding around like a horsey before as well, just riding on the horny dog's
back. He takes the piss. I'm sorry. There's something about Roomtone. I just feel he's disrespectful. He's just installed himself, you know? And I understand.
But sometimes, you know, these characters just invite themselves into our life and we adopt them. Don't we?
What are we doing on the show? God,
I've given up. I don't give a fuck. No, I don't really care.
I've got Tales from the Dance Floor, don't I?
We've done 8 minutes. We just call it a day this week. Just fucking get it done with. Nice little 15-minute episode. No. That's what they like, isn't it?
It's not what they like.
I don't know who they like. Right, okay. I tell you what. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and go straight into your Tales from the Dance Floor.
Okay,
right,
then, Paul.
Here
yes.
we go.
It's Tales from the Dance Floor, everyone.
It is indeed.
I had an extra gig. Because someone else dropped out. And I can say,
ooh.
Blues Kitchen Camden,
yeah.
They totally redid the whole floor of the stage. The stage has been replaced. It looks spanking brand new. It's crazy.
Oh, that's the good then, isn't it?
There's a new mixer. I bought some new...
is this the story,
needles.
Mate?
No,
fucking hell. If your Tales of the Dad floor is they put new flooring down.
I'm just
then
saying.
Reach the new zenith of this fucking segment.
Come on, I'm just saying.
All right, no, anyway. All right, you're setting a bit of a scene. They've got new flooring. Great.
No. Rich. It meant something to me. I'm sorry.
No,
okay. I can
world
see
building.
How that is quite boring to
No,
everyone.
No. It's good world building. Go on.
And it was a really busy night.
Yeah.
Really busy. But I noticed there was a lot of sausage, if you know
it's
what I mean.
It's a sausage night.
Blokes.
Yeah. A big load of
really,
sausages.
And it gets to the point where there's all these fucking blokes.
Too many blokes. Too many dicks on
know.
The dance floor, mate. Isn't it?
It is exactly that. But kind of, and especially if they've got a sort of shitty attitude, you just start thinking, I don't even want this next record to go down well.
Because then they'll be
and
all
it's
boisterous.
A kind of a feral boisterousness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where they start chanting along if they know it. And it's a bit like a football stadium or
it's
something.
It's because there's no ladies to impress, so their energy is diverted towards building up their masculinity.
I don't want to get into it. This is a bogland, a mire, rather, of...
A bogland.
Of, you know, social theory, gender theory, whatever you want to get
yeah,
into.
Yeah, so it's
I don't
too
want to
deep
get
for
that.
Us.
Way too deep.
We're simple
All
folk.
All I'm saying is...
We're simple folk, we
anyway,
don't know nothing, governor.
There was a... there was a lot of males there.
Yeah.
And this guy had one of those ravers hats.
Really? They still do, though? Is it being ironic?
I saw him sort of dancing. Oh, God, who's this guy?
Oh, gobshite.
Anyway, he mounts the stage with two of his mates.
Oh, dear.
He goes, Adele, Adele, have you got Adele rolling in the deep?
Oh, Jesus.
Adele rolling in the... I'll sing it. Go on, mate, I'll sing it. Adele rolling in the deep. Go on, mate.
Was like he that. Welsh?
No, he was Irish.
Hmm.
How would you say that then in an Irish accent?
Hello there, do you have Adele rolling in the
no,
deep?
No, but that's too...
It's better than what you did, which was Welsh.
Adele.
No, what's that?
Adele. Adele rolling in the deep.
That's nowhere near Irish. It's not even in the same fucking postcode as
Ireland.
It sounded
good in my head coming over here.
Most of the fucking things you do in life sound good in your head.
Things sound good in my head.
Of course.
It's got a great sound in
yeah.
my head.
Your track record of thought in your head is top 10.
Ah, mate, things sound so excellent in my head.
Anyway, you'd be, you know, Welsh would be more like this. I'd like Adele, please, and
yes,
rolling in the deep.
Adele.
Hello there, I'm
play,
Irish and I'm rolling in the deep,
play
so
Adele,
I am with Adele.
Rolling in the,
I'd like
a diddly
diddly
Adele.
This,
Paul.
Yes, Adele Adele.
See, come up and see the whole thing.
All right, then. Have you got Adele? Adele.
Rolling in the deep.
Have you got Rolling in the Deep, Adele?
I'll
Adele.
Sing.
Adele.
I'll
rolling,
sing.
I'll sing.
I'll sing.
Oh, you sing, I will.
I'll diddly wing.
Anyway,
and then the bouncer.
Come here, there's more. Come here.
There's
more.
No more.
Come here, there's more.
No, there's no more.
Come here, there's more.
Why are you making that noise with your mouth now?
Come here, there's more.
And you don't need to make that fucking noise with your mouth. Don't make that noise, man!
Don't go Jamaican on me, mate, just because fucking hell, that's pretty awful as well.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so he said all that shit, and then what happened?
He got pulled off by the bouncer.
Oh, lucky man. Oh, dear. What a story. Go on.
That was that.
Oh, okay.
But there was a lot of people got kicked out for vaping in the crowd and stuff.
Oh.
Did get a bit rowdy is all I'm saying.
Fine.
But I was glad that the bouncer was there.
Yes.
She's an absolute champion. She's just really good.
Well done. Now, as we're on a Tales of the ... mode,
no,
I've got
no,
one
I've
here.
Also got to know I have a bit.
Can you do it in 30 seconds?
I was in a charity shop in Camden. My mate, don't make that noise while I'm doing it, please.
Sod off.
Don't make that noise. Okay. And there was a Chinese restaurant just up a parkway in Camden that closed, that I used to like to frequent, did nice dim sum and stuff. It was one of those pan-Asian ones which do sushi and Chinese dishes, right, and Thai dishes as well. But anyway, it closed. And it's got kind of a sort of, quite a sort of interior designed sort of interior, yeah, with a sort of,
okay,
a bar and a sort
a designed
of,
interior.
A
yeah,
designed
got
interior
it.
With good. A sort of 80s vibe.
Right.
Anyway, turns out there's a new vintage secondhand shop up there.
Record shop or just vintage?
Well, this is what I'm getting to.
Oof.
Okay, and they've got like sort of 70s shirts in the window.
Oh, yeah.
Rogan was in there. He calls me up and goes, I'm up here. And I go there and he's got this mound of 7 inches when I walk in like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're getting those? I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, yeah, yeah.
Well, he was
like, all a quid. And he's like, got about 80 there. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I start looking and I'm like, oh.
Why? What was in there?
It's obviously some collection from a radio DJ or something. All of the artists are grouped. So you'll have
ABBA,
you'll have,
et cetera.
That'd probably be near the top if it was alphabetical as well.
America.
So I think the first thing I saw was Isley Brothers, for example. But then there was like Anita seven Dobson. Isley Brothers in a row.
Right.
All kind of pristine condition.
Yeah.
And then there'd be like Gwen Guthrie. All loads of it was...
I don't know why. I just don't think Gwen Guthrie is a real name.
It is.
Sounds like something we'd come up with.
They're all R&B.
Hello, soul. I'm Gwen Guthrie.
It was all basically...
Oh!
Don't take the piss of Gwen Guthrie.
Guffley.
That's a real person. Anyway.
But is Gwen Guthrie a real person?
No.
Hello there, I am Gwen Guthrie. Oh! Chupany sprouts last night, so it was.
Chupany sprouts?
Chupany sprouts.
Oh, I've had the chupany sprouts. Right, I'm an
fucking god again. Who was Irish,
no,
so she is.
Mate. Honey, no, can we move on?
I had a bit of the sprouts last night, so I did. It's a sprout and some wind.
A grin, a grin, a grin. I'm at your little mate, Chubby Nod.
And I'm out of the sketch.
No, I've got a question for you, Gwen.
Yes, hello there. Go on there, Gwen.
What kind of sprouts were they that you had last night that gave you so much gas?
Chuckany nubs.
They did a little chuckany nub.
I'm not going anywhere with this.
Oh,
finish, finish your story about the record shop.
Sorry.
Finish the story about the record shop.
Sorry, I was screaming there.
I know. That's why I'm going to ask you to
shrieking.
Very carefully... and wisely and maturely just finish your story.
Anyway, there was a lot of really good stuff there. I found a Soulful Strings on the Chess label, pristine.
Nice.
I've picked up some things. Gene Harris, who's a soul, funky soul jazz guy, on the Blue Note label, a 7.
I'm checking out.
Anyway, and I ended up getting 50, but yeah. I wanted to get more. I had to get a huge pile that I wanted. And then go through it again.
How much did it all cost?
They were all a quid. That's what I'm saying.
So you spent nearly 50 quid then?
I spent 54 quid. But I had got 54 singles, Paul. 54 singles.
No, I know the maths, mate. I fucking understand.
You can divide by one. Are
you
able to do that?
You got 7 singles out of it, all right? I know it. Moving on. So
that was a nice little digging moment.
Shut up. I'm moving on. I might even cut that segment out because I've lost interest.
Please don't. Stop shuffling your fucking piece of paper.
I want to get this done so we can move on to the show.
We are doing the show.
I'm not.
This is the show.
Is it?
You just did a fucking character called Sprouting, whatever that, Gwen Guthrie.
Don't be and jealous is what it comes down
Gwen
to.
Gwen Guthrie, Guthrie shit.
Guthrie. No, you're right. It is shit, but.
It's a shit character. I'm sorry it came up for their friend. Chubbany Nud.
Well, here's...
Chubbany Nud.
Chubbany Nud. Chubbany Nud. Ba-dum, dum. Chubbany Nud.
I'm Chubbany Nud.
Stop hopping up and down on your fucking chair. Our neighbour downstairs is going to get pissed off
that.
Ooh,
you see what it's like.
Nobber.
See what it's like.
You don't care.
When I come over and get all anarchic, cause disruption round your end.
Shut up. So, what I want to do is very quickly read this out. So, a couple of weeks ago, a huge big box arrived on my doorstep.
I don't think you've told them what this is.
I'm going to tell them now.
It's a different type of tale.
Yes, but I'm going to get into this
now. Did you do that link?
No, I'm doing it. I'm literally doing it now. This is the link where I reframe it.
Good luck with this link.
Thank you. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a massive box delivered to us on our PO box. Details on our website if you want to send anything to us. And it came... a huge box full of food and goodies from a guy called Ben. It also had a letter.
Stop saying huge box.
Huge box. Ben's big box was sent to us. Thank you, Ben. You sent so much, it's going to take us a while to chip at it.
Thank
you, so
we're going
to spread it out over the couple of weeks.
We had a little look through it, didn't we, Paul, before
we started. He also sent a letter, and it's a Tales from the Shop Floor, so let's just rip into it.
Tales from the Shop Floor.
And see where we go. I have a very expressionate colleague who is excellent at telling stories.
Sorry, Paul.
I can't.
Two things, right?
He says expression. That's just what he read. It's what he wrote. And I read it out.
Paul, can you? No, apart from that.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you slow down and enunciate a bit better? Just take a breath.
No.
Please. Or,
all right, then in that case, I will.
Expressionate.
That's what the word is.
The word is expressionate. Paul.
Expressionate.
That's not.
What does that word say?
Expressive is the word he wants.
All right, I'm going to say expressive then. I have a very expressive colleague.
No, I think expressionate is funnier.
Right, well, let's do that then. Let me tell the story or we'll be fucking doing it forever. The longer we take here, the less time we have to get for food.
That person used the word expressionate.
He has an I have a very expressionate colleague who is excellent at telling stories. We call them Rory stories.
We call them Rory stories. Is he called Rory?
This story from Rory is called Rhythm and Poos. Here's the story. Picture a large industrial setting in the northeast full of flat caps, poverty, and facilities operating 24 hours a day. One guy working there always seemed a little bit odd and shy.
Where are they working?
Somewhere in the northeast. He's keeping it vague for various reasons, all right?
It's a factory in
the northeast. And one of their colleagues was seemingly quite shy. When someone was going away from the workstation for the loo, the guy would always follow. They didn't know if he was afraid of being alone or in the dark or cold, so initially it wasn't seen as too unusual. This intensified to the point where he didn't work much, but stayed more towards the offices and facilities, and especially the toilets. Fast forward to the Christmas party, and there's been some drinks and lips have been loosened. He's talking to the others about how his wife makes him leave the house when she needs the toilet. She complained that she could hear him sniffing. He asked if he could just go to the bathroom with her and watch her do a number two, and after that, he was told he'd have to leave the house. So I'm guessing that he told a story anecdotally about, yeah, my wife, she doesn't like it when she poos. She sends me out because when she goes, I said I want to watch it and, you know, sniff.
Nice.
To each their own. The story quickly spread. This was the early 1980s and there wasn't much else to talk about. Everyone was cautious about him being around the toilets and some bets started rising. Maybe someone can get paid to allow him to watch. Eventually, someone went for a poo knowing he was near the toilets at the time. But alas, it was a trap. Peeking over the stall, they saw him pleasuring himself in the toilet. And even with half a dozen guys peering over, he never looked shocked and continued unabated. The guy actually ended up with an unusually positive reputation, apparently. Everyone was massively impressed, even management. He was simply an inquisitive man who would say, "Can one of you have a shit, please?" as a genuine optimistic plea, as he was trying to cross the finish line with a little help from his friends. I never found out if anyone helped him out for money or for free, but it's an unusual story for you to enjoy.
It's a story that I found the nausea rising in my throat during the last few bits of.
It's an interesting story, isn't it? When you think about it. It's an interesting story. Imagine being that man who, for some reason, can only knock one out when he can hear the heaving guts of a blocked bowel.
No, he's not hearing it. It's smell.
Is it the smell, you think? I think it's because he wants to see it.
Seven times.
He also wanted to see the
action. Yeah, but the smell... Well,
he wants to see the grunt.
They said the smell keeps him...
I'm sure the sniffing is part of it.
The smell is mentioned much more.
It is, but I'm thinking it's part of it. I also think he likes to see the gurning face of someone.
The guy's a coprophile, right?
Why does he like the police so much? Ba-bum, bum, ba-bum, bum.
I'm not in the mood today, Paul.
Why aren't you in the mood today?
I'm just not in the mood for your mouth.
Anyway,
rubbish.
Thank you, Ben. I don't believe that story at all. Right, next, moving on.
No, it was. He peaked too soon with expassionate, or whatever that word was.
Expassionate, yeah. Expassionate man. The expassionate man. interesting. Have you ever wanted to have a wank because someone was having a poo?
It doesn't turn me
not
on
me
the smell
either,
of
no.
Fecals.
Got a bread in the oven, mate, if you want to give it a go.
I don't want to give it a go.
Come
Paul.
On. Watch
it made
me
feel sick.
Watch
each
me have
their
a poo
own.
Next door now. Watch me have a poo next door
I don't
now.
Believe, you know what the story part of that story...
If you can reach some essence.
I'm not going to do it, okay?
All right.
And I'm not going to even entertain it. Do you know what was really I felt about that story where it came off the truthful rails, so to speak?
What, when he was caught doing it and never missed
and
a beat?
And then he was never missed a beat and everyone thinks he's a hero. That's not what happens, even in the 80s.
So the trap was what they set for him. They were like, "I'm going for a poo, whatever. Come with us." And he went, and there was no poo. But then he would have known, right? Did he just like the idea of knowing someone was pooing?
No, he liked the smell. Can't you get this through?
But there was no smell
skull.
in this trap, was there? He says, "I'm going for a poo," and he went in, but it was a trap.
It was just the thought of it.
So maybe it was just the thought of it, knowing that a colleague that he worked
well
with
observed.
Was in the cubicle
I didn't
next
pick that
door.
Up. Well observed.
Thank
yes.
you. So no, what's paying attention?
He knew it was a trap. So the guy didn't take a shit then.
No, he didn't know it was a trap. He went into the booth next door after hearing his mate go, "I'm off to drop my guts." And he was like, "Oh, fucking
great." Didn't the guy just end up dropping his guts anyway? I think he did.
No, because they peeked over the top.
Yeah, but the guy's dropping his guts in the next one along and they're looking at him in that one having a
No, because I don't... Even if I'm part of the trap, I don't want to really take a shit for the sake of the trap.
What if you needed two birds with one stone?
Well, okay,
isn't it? Wait till you need a shit and then you would do that, wouldn't you? You'd wait till you needed a shit. You wouldn't pretend to take a shit.
But if it was a trap,
on the
of course
clock,
you would.
You know, they've got a foreman looking over them.
Oh, I'm dying for a shit. You just walk
away. But then when you really need a shit, you've cried wolf. And the foreman's going to say, fucking, aren't they? They're going to say, well, you've already been for a shit, mate.
You've been five times
today,
Brian.
I do not believe
Brian.
That story. You're right.
Yeah.
What, having a little examination of that whole thing at the end. Like, yay, it's Johnny's shit wank. Yay.
It's fucking Rory's stories.
Rory's story.
Rory can eat.
Expressionistic man.
Nah.
Fuck that!
Rory the story man and his expressionistic yeah. tales of nonsense.
I can't even...
This segment's over! Ooh, nommity nom, it's time for nosh. Nommity nom, it's time for nosh. What nosh? Hot nosh, sweet nosh, good. Put it in my belly and nom nom nud.
Nud.
Nom nom nud.
Nom nom nud.
Anyway.
Hello everyone. Now it's time for the sweet half of the snacks from the States brought by Emma. And shout out to Solly on his birthday, which was the 8th.
This is not a fucking breakfast radio show.
Big shouts to Solly boy on his 8th. Not his 8th. He's, 14.
Regretting this already?
No, I'm not, because they bought all of this for us.
Yes, they did. So
I said I'd give a shout out on the birthday, so sorry. I don't do birthday shout outs, everybody.
So yeah, don't email in. Unless you're a relative. I'm not interested in anyone.
I know. God,
especially
you. You get real mask off sometimes, don't you?
Yeah.
This is what I mean. You have a fucking psychopath lurking within you. That's what a psychopath would say.
The problem is
when you wear these glasses as well.
I have too many emotions to be a psychopath. Too many complicated, raw emotions that I can't process. And it makes me want to fucking kill something. We tried some of the savory stuff last week. Now we're on to the sweet.
The potted meat was the standout.
Mm.
And now we've got a lot of interesting items they picked up for me, starting with Oreo Space Dunk.
What makes them a space dunk, Mr. Spilbabum? I couldn't say your name.
There are contained within this package I have before me, Paul.
Yeah.
5 galactic designs. Oh, they're different designs on each one. Funny.
So they're just different biscuit designs then.
It's cosmic cream.
What's cosmic? I bet it tastes the same as normal cream.
Cosmic cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone right now, including those listening, know exactly where we're
going
to go with this. So let's just skip it. So it is a normal, I'm not going to say normal, but it's Oreo biscuits as you know them, but with a different design of some space on it and a cream.
Two coloured cream, blue and pink. Space colours.
I guess they are space cosmic colours when you think about it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The Cosmic Coke was exactly the same two colours, wasn't it?
Yes. What is it about those colours, do you think?
It's just sort of nebula colour.
Yeah,
isn't
it is.
It seems beautiful. To have got its shorthand for outer space now.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't noticed or articulated before, which is funny.
Otherwise, it would have been a black filling, right? Blackness.
Space used to be black, like, yeah.
It still is black if you look. You should take a look every now and then. Most of it is black.
I'm talking about the representation of space.
Yes.
In the media.
It's much more coloured now, yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm fine.
And that must be to do with the advances in cosmology in terms of the better telescopes and stuff.
Yeah.
More and more pictures of
and we can see it more, process
stuff.
It better, yeah.
Isn't that weird how the colour of a conceptual thing...
Yeah, changes.
Yes.
Well, it's like the colour pink, isn't it? Back in the 1800s, Regency days, pink was the thing that all men wore all the time.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, just before the war or something, blue became the thing. It's just how things go.
I've lost...
You've lost half a biscuit.
I've lost a top. I'm going to put that back. Right. Very vivid, two-tone, pink and blue filling.
Yeah.
There goes that one.
I just fucking clean this out. I don't want cosmic juice all over it. Give me the packet. I'll pick my own one. I don't want your dirty fingers on it. Right.
Jesus.
So what am I looking at? I'm looking at a little alien.
I've got a shooting star.
I've got a space helmet. It's got a hole in this one with a helmet.
Take it from us, everyone. The artwork isn't outstanding.
I'll take a
cookies.
Picture of the biscuits that are left to show just how crumbly bad they
Shall
are.
Shall we see if this creme has any taste different from a normal Oreo?
I'm going to have a snuff. It smells like an
exactly.
Oreo.
Exactly. Very vanilla-y.
Yeah, very
sweet.
Vanilla-y.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to go.
Oh, it's got popping candy in it.
Oh, that it does.
That's nice.
Mate, I just put the biscuit up to my ear to hear the popping candy. What the fuck? As if it was like
That's good. Can you feel it? I can feel it all popping.
Yeah, I didn't actually.
That's quite a nice sensation.
Until you said that, though, I didn't register it. It was happening in my mouth, but for some reason I'd not processed it. But that does taste like a kind of sweeter.
It's very sweet, isn't it? That's sweeter than I remember a normal Oreo.
Well, I don't think an Oreo flavouring is that sweet.
That's quite a nice touch, I have to say.
Yeah, no, you know what?
As a gimmick, it sparkly, it's like little stars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In your mouth, little cosmic stars.
That actually is all right.
It's a gimmick product, but at least they've actually done something different.
I tell you what, though, you only get 5 in a pack. A whole pack would be, what, usual 10, 12 biscuits or whatever it is.
I'm not sure. They sell them in all different sizes and different types.
All right,
I did not hate that.
No, I enjoyed that. You know I like Oreos anyway.
Kids would enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's got that toyetic thing with the popping candy.
With the popping candy.
Okay, good.
Did it say it on the packaging?
I didn't notice it. That's what cosmic in the creme is, I guess.
5 galactic designs. What does it taste like? The delicious taste of fluffy marshmallow. Wondering what cosmic cream tastes like? It doesn't actually say.
Doesn't say.
No, it doesn't say that.
It must have a legal level.
Yeah.
Isn't it banned in some countries, popping candy? It was, wasn't it?
People
said it would
don't know.
There was a scare around it where they said it would.
Oh, maybe
would,
back in the day. Yeah, maybe.
It definitely was, yeah.
I don't know. All right, I'll give that a pass. I'll give that 3 out of 5.
I definitely would as well. It wasn't too bad at all.
Next.
Very sweet.
Next.
Okay, I already said next, okay?
Next.
So I'm trying to move this on as well.
All right,
yeah?
Go on then. Cupcakes.
We've got Hostess cupcakes. Orange cupcakes.
Now, Hostess mostly are well known for their Twinkies, aren't they?
Which has the Ghostbusters connection.
Yes, they can't shut up about a thing that was mentioned once briefly in the film.
It was one of the biggest laughs from the original film.
Yeah.
That's a big Twinkie.
Yeah.
Now, and this is a cupcake Twinkie.
Also, when you smell it again, do you want to jab your nose right into the icing cream with it and just get
well,
all
your
nose
here?
You
can have the one here. I didn't nose jab, okay?
Yeah, all right, good. It's just
fucking hell, why have you got all fucking
hey,
hygiene obsessed?
Hey, because I
obsessed.
Don't like eating things that you've had
you
your nose
my
pressed
house,
upon
you
the...
You chuck shit around.
No, I fucking
you're wiping
don't.
Your ass on the carpet, taking a big shit you've saved up all day, and then going on about how it was like stuffing a fucking bird down a tube. A big gull. It was like fucking manhandling a gull down a fucking tube.
Very embarrassing content. Right.
Shut up.
What's special about these ones?
These are orange cupcakes.
Orange Hostess cupcakes. That's
it. And they
it.
Have quite a nice orangey
icing
smell.
Yeah. Know. All right, let's go.
They've got cream in.
It's fine, but I don't like it. It's kind of weirdly bland. The icing's doing all the hard work, I think, there. Because I think the cupcake part is just a Twinkie, right?
It doesn't have a lot of texture.
Very soft and spongy.
Yeah.
It's not crumbly like you'd expect a cupcake to really be. I think it is just a Twinkie with orange icing.
Of course it is. I mean, it's too processed.
Yeah.
I agree, but...
Not offensive, but I'll give that a 2.
Very sweet as well.
Yeah, it is. It's like, set your teeth off.
Okay.
What are you going to rate out of 5? Get involved. Rank it. Rank it off.
I'll go 2.5.
I'll go flat 2. I might
a flat 2.
I might do Space Dunkers go up half a decimal to 3.5.
Oh, yeah.
So what's next?
What's next, Paul, is Jet Puffed Gummies Marshmallow.
So,
and these are little cuboid sweets of some sort, which appear to have little faces on. Little smiling faces,
they're
Paul.
Little Stay Puffed men, aren't they? But gummy-sized, I guess. So are they marshmallows or gummies?
About? I don't know. I can't, this is very interesting to me. Shall we dive in?
Let's dive in. Get your fingers into the fat box.
I'm getting in my fingers in here. And they are wrapped further in a little cellophane. They
the
look
box.
Like marshmallows to me. Well, they look pretty good, I have to say.
No, I'm fine with that. It's just, I don't know what the flavour is, the texture. I don't know what we're getting here.
Are they just flavoured marshmallows? Oh, very strong vanilla coming off the pack here.
From Flix Candy.
Maybe they're sort of marshmallow gummies.
It just
That's
says...
what they are, I think.
Yeah, it just says here, marshmallow artificially flavoured. I don't know what makes them gummies.
The fact that they're gummies.
It is, no.
It's a gummy.
It's like marshmallow flavours, but with a gummy texture.
Yes, that's right.
This one is just marshmallow. I should try another flavour.
Try the blue one.
Should never just take what you say for face value. I'll try it myself.
Yeah, blue one.
Yeah,
different.
It tastes the same.
It's just, they're all the, like no. Real marshmallows are different colours, but taste exactly the same, aren't
so,
they?
So, yeah, this... unimpressed, really.
Underwhelmed with those.
What do you think jet puffed means? That's what I mean. That seems to be a selling point, but what does it mean?
That's the kind of gummy it is. And I think these are marshmallow flavoured ones of these, but they probably do nice, like sour ones and different things. You know, fruit flavoured ones.
I'm not impressed with them.
No.
There's not, again,
if you're really into vanilla.
If you're really into a marshmallow flavour, but with a gummy texture, then there you go. But I'm...
Nothing, yeah.
I would give it a 2. Again,
I don't like
horrible.
1.3. I don't like...
marshmallow stuff or that flavour.
I just don't like vanilla, just vanilla. when it's just vanilla.
Yeah.
I think vanilla, what vanilla really does brilliantly is when you pair it with something like raspberry or strawberry.
And it offsets it. It gets creamy.
It makes it amazing. Even lemon. Lemonade with a bit of vanilla in. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
But just when it's just by itself. It's vanilla.
It's vanilla, isn't it? It's so vanilla.
So vanilla.
Next on the docket is what, Mr. Silverman?
Paul, we've had a little break here, and I don't want you to take
it's
the
like
emotion.
A 5 second break.
But I don't want you to take the emotion from the little bit of house, little bit of life admin you were doing, and take the emotion that gave you and bring it to
it did deflate me somewhat.
So,
anyway,
so don't. Let's not with a deflationary tone. Let's get. Come on, say
come
that
on.
Again. What's coming next, Mr. Silverman? Like you really like my company, and that other thing isn't weighing down.
Hello, Eli. What's next on this lovely Candyland treat?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Paul, because we have the last of our sweet items.
Yeah, because I guess the next thing.
And
isn't
this is another marshmallow,
sweet at all.
But this is a real marshmallow, and we've had these on the show before. This is somewhat of a U.S. Easter tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
Peeps.
Peeps.
They do little Easter-themed marshmallows, basically.
Shaped like poets. A bit too intellectual for this podcast, Mr. Silverman. A little bit too intellectual for this podcast, Mr. Silverman.
No, it's not.
Is it?
It was...
A little bit too clever for fat-brained, silly Silverman to understand this week, was it? Ooh! A little bit too licorature for you.
Licorature. Is that a type of porn?
Type of porn book.
It's a fucking fanny-licking
Where's
porn.
Where's Gannon? Oh, he's next door reading his licorature.
Let's write into Viz. Licorature. But it sounds a bit like licorice.
Incidents licorice. At Clan Creek.
Licorice, just a bit.
Just a bit. Licorice? No, I licked all of it.
Oh!
Thank you, mother.
Right. No, don't.
Peeps.
Peeps.
Come on. But what
we
makes...
tried these before.
Yes, we had cinnamon, we had regular, but what have we got today?
We have a tie-in. It's a crossover, Paul, and they know everyone loves that.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Pepper-flavoured Peeps. Are little burbies.
Yeah.
Birdies.
That's the thing we should mention. They are marshmallow items, and these are flavoured
with Dr.
items.
Pepper.
Yeah, this time out.
I have never seen...
Yeah.
A Dr. Pepper flavoured thing, apart from a can of Dr. Pepper.
Seen like lip balms and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a very popular lip balm.
But
well,
no,
it?
It's not like Vimto where they slap it on everything.
You know?
Yeah.
Ooh.
To be fair, also, you don't get official Coca-Cola flavoured things. Like, you don't get Coca-Cola flavoured Peeps, do you? Or
oh, yeah. You don't see that very often either,
no.
Do you? Is it the same company?
Oh, I don't know about that. But either way, let's sniff the Peeps.
There's a very nice, in my view, huff enough coming off these Peeps, birdies.
I'll see if the huff is enough.
It's a lovely Play-Doh-y smell.
Oh, yeah, but I can't... Yeah, I can smell Dr. Pepper quite easily, though.
You know Dr. Pepper's a bit Play-Doh-y?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and he's taking one of these little birdies, and let's go for this, Paul.
Off to the Munch Town. There's not a lot going on there, though.
No, but the look you gave me was much more despairing than that.
I honestly, the problem is with it is that the Dr. Pepper flavour isn't really
it's
all
not
there.
Strong enough.
And the sweetness of everything, all that sugar comes through instead.
It's so sickly.
No.
Too sweet. Really is too sweet.
Too sweet and not enough Dr. Pepper in there to warrant the crossover.
But we've not liked them at any time we've tasted these Peeps, have we, really?
I mean, at least the cinnamon one was hot and spicy, that red hot chewing gum flavour kind of thing.
They should do tarky flavoured Peeps.
That would blow their fucking heads
Imagine
off.
It had that sort of sourness, some kind of something to offset the sweetness.
They would off. No, this is the thing, though. You can't offset it. I don't think you can with what a Peep is. I think, if anything, if you add tacky flavours to it, it'll probably be quite rancid.
Mind you, those tarky nuts from last week were terrible.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Anyway, again... Because I don't think the flavour matched the item all that well in that instance.
They really didn't, no.
Anyway, the big finale today is something from the Ben box. Was it from Ben's box? It was from Ben's box.
I believe it was from the same box that you got the Tales from the shop floor
from. And he sent us like off-brand Brandoff and the Get a Grip game we played with Bartians. That was from
Thank you
box.
Very much for sending all that stuff in, Ben.
Oh, all it says is the name of it, Grenky.
Yeah.
And it's fried bread. The flavour is what brings us to the attention.
And it was Ben that it's one
yes,
of them.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. And he's a very expressionate man.
Mm.
expressionate writer.
I'm so, the expressionate man.
These are horse-flavoured roast horse.
Nice.
Roast horse-flavoured bread.
Fried bread.
Fried bread.
Now, I've never eaten horse, so I don't know what horse tastes like.
You've never eaten horse knowingly. Did you have a burger, a cheap burger, when you were at university?
Oh, like a bird's eye one? Yeah. Maybe. You're right, because there was that whole scandal, wasn't it?
They used horse.
This hamburger's 80% horse meat.
There was a big scandal, everybody, if you're from abroad.
In the UK, there was a scandal about
and
that.
When was that? It was about 10 years ago
Yeah,
now?
It was only about 10 years or so.
15 maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of companies were shown to have used horse, but they used it much earlier than when it came out, didn't
yeah,
they?
It's been a while. It's been a while for them doing it.
So there is a good chance you've eaten horse. Listen, I don't have anything like, ooh, you can't eat horse because what?
I mean, if
it's another animal.
Yeah.
It's another mammal.
You're going to arbitrarily pick what animal is appropriate to eat.
However, I don't think they should put horse in without telling you at all.
You don't know that people might not want it. They might go, all horse burger.
Absolutely fine.
Horse kebab.
Well, they do eat horse, like in France.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, maybe it's because in this country, because of like Follyfoot and Black Beauty, we kind of, I don't know, see horses differently.
It's the deception.
Horse jerky.
Again, I'd be happy to try that. But it's the deception was the scandal, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
that was it. Because
no one
really mentioned...
It's a beef burger and it's not. It's a horse burger.
Yeah, no one went around for ages saying, these burgers taste like horse. They didn't, did they?
These burgers smell like horse. Okay, so this is, believe a first for Cheap Show, though,
it
Paul,
is,
that we've had a horse-flavoured product.
Well, I mean,
we've had some weird jerky, and I remember the snapping turtle jerky was the worst.
That
stayed with me forever.
Good. I don't think these are going to be horrible, though, at all. In fact, I would argue
it might have a real musty horse smell.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a lammy, almost a lammy, gamey, musty, horse fatty, all hairs in the... Oh, you know what I've just thought of?
Well,
that picture of that woman got that thing out of that horse's foreskin, man. The big waxy thing that they got out.
No, you see, already right now, you're off on your own and I don't know where you're going. And I'm just...
It was a picture and it was a big lump of green waxy stuff.
That she pulled out from a horse's foreskin.
And it was a diseased one.
Although, what a great sentence, a horse's foreskin. There's something about the flow of that.
Yes, it's the part rhymes.
Of course, the horse of foreskin.
Yes.
Oh, for horse and foreskin.
It sounds like a good pub's name.
The horse and foreskin.
The horse and foreskin.
Come on, love, let's get down the old horse and foreskin for a pint of the old frothy.
Okay, shall I bring little Billy? Billy!
Billy's a dog. Your son's a dog.
No, it's my dog.
Oh, okay.
We're going down the horse and foreskin. They look dog friendly there.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh.
Very dog friendly. Come on, Billy. Right, let's try these...
I'm just staring agog at you right now.
Agog. Yeah. Paul's agog, everyone. He's agog on a knob, everyone.
Yeah, agog on a knob.
No.
Horse's foreskin, agog on a knob.
Now, are you ready for
this? Sounds like a magic spell. Horse's a foreskin, agog on a knob.
Paul.
Horsey foreskin.
Paul.
Yeah.
Are you going to allow me to do an expert enough?
Go on, huff it. Huff the horsey foreskin back.
Try and get it all agitato.
Agitatis.
Getting all the horse flakes agitato, and then I'm just going to get the smallest little corner.
Corner quiff.
Yes, I'm getting a beefy, deep, rich huff from that. Paul. Oh, and there's a sort of tomatoey sweetness almost. There is barbecue sauce depicted on the front cover, like a big dipping. It doesn't look bad, that horse, does it?
No, but it looks a bit like jerky, I guess, in that instance.
It looks tough and deep and and dark.
It almost smells like an OXO cube.
It's beefy, yeah.
But you're right, there's some different elements in there.
And there's a bit of a sweetness coming off, which I think is the sauce representation. Sorry, I didn't...
Right, I'm going to
take
these
are fried bread things. These are like those bruschetta crisps.
Yeah, they are.
That
like
you get.
Little bruschettas.
Oh, God, there is a sort of real gaminess almost.
I don't know. To me, it just smells like an OXO cube. Anyway, I'm going to put...
Oh, they're quite regular.
Yeah.
Little
biscuit shapes. They're just little crunchy biscuits.
Oh, they're hard.
Don't know about that. What's weird about that I don't get?
It's that gaminess.
Is that what it is?
Oh, they're bitter, like they're burnt at the end as well.
There's something strange going on in my mouth.
There's a slight bitterness.
Oh,
I know what you mean.
That's weird, because you get this kind of beef up front, and then this kind of herby, gamey...
Bitterness, yeah.
something off, like off meat note. And then the bread bit as well makes it kind of loafy and like wheaty.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wheaty and meaty.
Yeah. I'm not sure I love those as well, Paul. I'm not sure I love those.
I was that far away from creating a character called Wheaty Beefy Petey.
No.
I couldn't think of what he was going to sound like, so we'll move on.
Wow, good.
Wheaty Beefy.
I didn't like those very much.
I didn't. I couldn't imagine just like enjoying them idly like you would a packet of crisps or whatever.
I wasn't expressionate about them, that's for sure.
No. One.
Oh, I'm going one.
One.
I've enjoyed a similar product, but I don't know. Was it the horse that was at the back of our head?
Well, here's the thing. If you would have said, eat this, and I just went, nom, I'd be like, oh, what is this? Like,
and then you were told horse.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's weird. It tastes like one minute you're biting into an OXO cube, and the next minute you're biting into a fart.
It's a bit farty, isn't it?
It's
yeah.
A very farty biscuit. Well, what was your favourite from all of these items?
I think it has to be the first thing. Yeah,
Oreos, yeah.
The Oreos, mate.
They were fun, delightful. They
tickled
our taste buds.
Yeah, a little surprise.
Yeah.
It is not often that you are surprised by food.
No.
I know it's a gimmicky sort of thing, but
it tickled our taste buds, didn't it? It mattered.
It had a crunch, and then the crunch evolved into popping candy. And it was like little stars winking into and out of existence in the galaxy.
Stars.
Of your mind.
Little winking eyes, yeah. Little winking flavors.
And it's like surround sound of the little popping. I don't know why, but it does seem to me to be a good metaphor.
I'm just going to move on because I feel real sick now.
It's a good metaphor for the stars.
I've gone from super sweet to beefy horse, and I'm just a bit fucking off. Like, flavors
thrown
off.
It's all a bit of a tumble. Have you got any antacids? Antacids.
I have got Tums. Yeah, I've got some Tums.
You've got some Tums. Let's have a fucking Tums party.
Let's have a fucking Tums festival right now. And we'll be right back after this. Hello, Mr. Silverman. Would you like to see my platters?
Oh, don't say that.
What?
Would you like information about such things?
Trackbot, there is someone here.
Hello.
Hello. Would you like to give information, Trackbot?
I always give the best conversation.
There's someone here who has got a lot of questions.
Bring him in.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
I'm going back to
pod. Excuse me. Wide travelled Rob here. I've been travelling very far. And why? Now, Paul...
Why is he here? What's it got to do with Trackbot, this?
He's just here. He came. He's been lurking around.
He came? He came in Trackbot's pod?
That's what that man said I should do, but...
Trackbot doesn't have £700 to clean again.
I haven't done that, but I did have some questions for you, Paul.
Fire away.
Not for you, Trackbot. For you, Paul, please.
Well, then Trackbot can go back then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that is. It looks like a funny robot covered in glue.
I have cleaning issues.
I don't know what that... I can't understand what he's saying.
I have issues. Grab our tissues.
I'm wide-travelled. Wide-travelled.
Right, okay, so Trackbot's gone over there. Bye-bye, Trackbot. I can't fucking keep track of these fucking characters.
Paul, that's why I did have some...
I tried to get rid of these characters. I tried to get rid of them.
That's what my question was about.
Go
that
on.
Was question. I'm wide-travelled, Rob.
Yes.
I did come onto the show before.
Yeah. Didn't offer much. They fucking that sound.
Yeah. I've come on the show, right?
Oh, no.
Right. No, not like that.
Trackbot.
Who is that robot?
I'll pay for the cleaning this time, all right.
What's that robot good for?
He gives us musical information.
Really?
Yeah, he gives us facts on who's
Do you need travel?
No, we don't. We're all right for travel information.
Do you need travelling information?
Did you have a question?
Yes. I was wondering when you were going to announce who the new characters would be. Who's going to have a permanent
It's not you.
Thing.
I can tell you now, it's not going to be you.
Why? I'm very wide-travelled.
You're not wide-travelled. You're not very interesting.
No, I've been to other places.
And it's a sign that you're a failed character that I have checked out of this conversation.
I've been to lots of places, actually.
Trackbot's good. Cardinal Sin, he was a laugh.
I didn't like that man.
Mr. Grunty, he was funny. I liked him.
Also,
you're pretty poor.
That was my first question, all right?
Yeah, I don't think you'll be coming back after today.
That's a high question. But whilst I'm here, Paul, whilst I'm here, wide-travelled.
Yeah.
Very wide-travelling, Rob. That's how I do. I go round, I travel.
Yeah.
Whilst I'm here, do you have any questions about places?
No, I don't have any.
What about Eli? Does he have any?
Eli, do you have any? You better say no or I'll fucking kill you.
Rob, where, how far and wide have you been?
Cunt.
Yes, very far. As far as Cold Tester?
This has already outstayed its welcome, this segment, so wrap this up.
And as far as... That's one way I've been. I've been to Hove. We've been over that before.
I should not be adding any more comedy content to this segment of the show. I feel like Eli struggle and die on his own with this bit.
I fancy... Actually, who is that robot? Because it's giving me the horn.
Might even cut this out.
The robot's giving me the horn now.
No, I'm not doing even TrackBot stuff as well. You can fuck off. I'm done.
Can I just go and look at it? Go over there?
No, because TrackBot's in there right now. I just want some peace.
There's a
coin.
Little hole in the cupboard.
That's just a power port. That's where I plug it in.
Don't fuck it. Oh, no. It's popping in and out and in and out and in.
Oh, fucking travel up there. Oh, I travelled.
You've besmirched my circuit boards.
They have an empty feeling.
Well, there we go. That's that bit done. Let's move on. So, this is the platters segment. I have a platter ready to go. Two platters this
week. Wake up, TrackBot.
He's all right. He's sealed himself in. He's bunged that hole up with tissue.
I don't think he can sense through that hole.
Oh, it smells musty now in here.
Well, they're all camping out again.
It smells like sweat and cobwebs in here right now.
Wide Travel Rob seems to be having a conversation with Room Tone now.
Anything wide travel.
They're thick as thieves.
They can fuck off.
They're gumming up.
Anyway,
TrackBot.
A letter from Bob. The letter from Ben. The letter from Ben. Not Bob.
The flower pot men.
Bill and Ben are flower pot men. Bob's not in the thing. He's not involved. Bob's no man.
No, Bob's no man.
Bob's no man.
Bob's a snowman.
Ben sent a letter, and that letter has a segment in it I'd like to read out because it's pertinent to our platter particulars, all right?
Okay.
In episode 356, I think, I haven't double-checked it either, someone got in touch to say that the record from Darlington, County Durham...
This was Johnny and the Answer Phones, one of my favourite ever platters that we've uncovered here, because it was basically a sort of piss-take revenge record.
Yes.
That the actual person who was the subject of the piss-take actually ended up releasing.
Yes.
It was them who's it's on quite the voice that's on the record. But if you recall, it is quite hard to describe, but we got the whole backstory because someone who was listening knew the person who'd made the record.
So effectively...
It was an answer phone message was the basis of it.
It seemed like there was a rich guy who had a lot of money who wanted to make a single, and they were mixing it, and the guy who released the single mixed it but never released the stuff to the guy because he hadn't paid him.
He did
not
pay it.
So this guy who'd made this song was now like leaving him answer phone messages saying, give me the fucking
with an escalating irateness.
And then who released the single then? Was it the guy complaining or the guy who actually mixed that track with
the dance? It was the guy complaining, not the guy who made it.
It's complicated. Anyway... He goes on to say in this letter that the guy in the letter was someone called Dutch. That was the guy who they think was the mysterious man with the money who left the answer phone.
Yeah, and Graham,
messages.
Who's named on the record, was the guy.
Right, okay.
The record maker who's behind the label.
So when the guy from the recording company said, never trust a hippie.
Yes, the hippie was the guy who was leaving the messages.
Yeah. I knew a guy I knew called Dutch. I'd met in Crook in the late 90s.
Now, it was Crook, wasn't it? Because they were the record label was Crook Records.
Oh, okay. All
remember?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So he was friends with some of my family and sold weed to my late relatives.
This all fits with this guy.
I was only a child at the time, but specifically remember he was called Dutch, as he used to get the ferry that goes from Newcastle to Amsterdam to buy weed and bring it back.
Great.
I'm presuming security is tighter now, and one day I hope I can dig out a picture for you.
Fantastic.
A little bit of sugar on the story
there. I love that whole fact that we got the story behind that record. That's one of those very special things for me, in that it is a record... That is incredibly rare.
Yeah.
Incredibly rare. And...
But no value, but
of
rare.
Of no value. Yeah. I love that kind of thing.
And they always have the more interesting stories, that stuff, don't they?
But the fact that we got detailed evidence about what the actual story behind it was...
From the horse's mouth.
...was amazing.
Yeah,
And that's a little follow-up there. Thank you very much
nice
for that.
Nice little zhoosh.
A little sprinkle of zhoosh.
Sprinkly zhoosh. Yeah. So, with that in mind, I have two platters for us today. Two records that I found in charity shops. We're going to start with this one. And this one's interesting, not because the song itself is particularly good.
It's not.
Or well sung. Or
spoiler warning.
Produced. But because the artist behind it is actually quite an interesting character. This is Steve Walsh with his cover of the famous track, I Found Lovin'.
I searched for love before. For a love that I thought I couldn't find. I searched day in and day out for the one that was mine, all mine. I played around with love before. I was silly and you know that I played the fool. But then you came into my life and you changed that. Now I know what I want and where it's at.
together and sing to me tonight. Are you ready? Here we go. Here we go. Everybody in the house. Are you ready? Everybody, let me hear you sing in.
So there you go. That was Steve Walsh. I Found Lovin'. Completely new recording. Never released before, it says on the front.
I don't know why you'd put that on the cover of a single.
In that case, every single ever released should have that statement on it, right?
Perhaps because it's a tune that was originally recorded by a different artist.
Well, it is, isn't it? I can't remember who we discovered it was. Who sang that song?
A1 Records, never heard of. Did he set up this label himself?
Don't know. Oh, I can tell you.
Who is it?
Songwriters, Johnny Flippin, Michael
Walker. Yeah, that's the song. They're the songwriters, but they don't ring any bells.
That is a song, though, isn't it? It's
I don't
a song.
Know. I didn't recognise it. No, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
I thought it was a cover, this song, I Found Loving.
Of what? I mean, there's obviously other tunes called I Found Loving. It's a very generic title.
Fat Back
that's
Band.
Right. That's right.
I Found Loving. So
that must be the guys in the Fat Back Band. Did you know they are still going? And there's guys in his 90s, one of the
Jesus,
Fat Back.
Really?
Yeah, they played the Jazz Cafe last year.
1983 it was originally released.
They said, the Fat Back Band said... as well, that they're sort of more loved over here in Britain and Europe than
really?
In America. Yeah, they've been going for ages.
Fair play to
them.
Do
the Bus Stop is
massive.
So yes, it's a Fat Back Band song.
Yes,
which
it is.
Almost makes it even worse, the funklessness of his version.
Well, here's the thing. So when I found this in a charity shop, I was like, well, who's this really kind of, let's be honest, overweight ginger man who's singing a song covered by the Fat Back Band? Fat Back Band.
Cover of a song by the Fat Back Band.
It's Fat Back Band. It's really fucking hard to say. The Fat Back Band. One a penny, two a penny, Fat Back Band.
I've got a fat back in my black
and here we go. Fuck me. So, I wanted to know more about this guy. And I did a quick search in the shop online while I was looking at it. And then I was like, oh, shit. He was a radio disc jockey. And ended up working for BBC Radio London, which is where I currently, you know, do some work and stuff. And
okay.
I was thinking, well, let's look into him a little bit more. So, I'm going to take this from Wikipedia. Apologies. I know it's like the laziest fucking thing, but I'll tell you. He started his radio career working for a pirate radio station called Invicta. I don't know if that rings a bell to you. I don't know it to me.
Invicta was quite a famous label formed by Holland, Dozier and Holland when they left, parted ways with the Motown company.
Oh, that's interesting because this is a pirate radio station that was only broadcast in London.
Sorry, Invictus. So it's just similar.
No, but I'm thinking they took the name of this radio station from that label because they specialise in only playing soul music.
Yeah, so it was a big soul label. Famously, people like Chairman of the Board were Invictus.
Yeah.
And probably their biggest ever record was Frida Payne's Band of Gold.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one.
Yeah, na, 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 na,
it's a great tune.
Frida Payne, great tune. Yeah. Anyway, that was a pirate radio station that went between 1970 and 1984. They played only soul. So he was a DJ there. Then he moved to another soul pirate radio station. Apparently, there were more soul pirate radio stations in London than I thought was needed, but
well,
there you go.
I mean, this is something I didn't want to get onto yet, but there's a huge problem with kind of racist exclusion of that kind of music from the charts in Britain
at
going
that time.
Way back. And yeah,
well, it was the same. It's one of the reasons why, and we've mentioned this before, and it's a known fact that when the Blues Brothers came out, it was making all those rhythm and blues and soul songs from the past that were not getting played popular again, and it allowed people like Aretha Franklin and James Brown to have a kind of boom in their career in the 80s.
Not only that, but there's a lot of artists who literally, you know, would have had hits, soul artists who would have had hits in the 60s and stuff, who just completely just went into some completely different line of work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
so,
because it was so difficult,
so,
especially in America. But there's a similar thing going on with black artists, soul artists in Britain.
So I can imagine that these pirate radio stations were playing the songs that weren't getting airplay on Radio 1 or LBC or Capital or whatever it was.
There was a huge underground, obviously, for that. There still is pirate radio, isn't there, in London?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really the same anymore because it's obviously a niche thing because internet's where everyone goes now to do their broadcasting. But from there, he went on to later go to BBC Radio Kent, then decided to move again and he moved to another radio station. He returned to London to launch Radio London Soul Night Out, and at the same time he was approached by Capital Radio. Soul Night Out was a radio show on BBC Radio London, I'm imagining, where they just played soul.
Cool.
Having covered Saturday's Greg Edwards show, Soul Spectrum, it led him to a permanent 6-month spot on Capital Radio, but only in the small hours of Sunday mornings. And then the two stations became unhappy sharing the presenter, doing similar radio content. So he eventually moved to BBC Radio London to host a Sunday 7 till 9pm show. And then was what we get to this record, is that because he was part of this scene to bring soul music to more mainstream audiences via BBC local radio, he became a kind of figurehead for the genre. And apparently he worked with Tony Blackburn a lot to bring soul music to the to wider
Blackburn,
audiences.
Blackburn, obviously a champion of soul as well. And also had a record that was a minor Northern Soul hit,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, he did.
Blackburn
yeah.
himself. Yeah.
We'll have to find that unless we've done it before in the past.
I think we've done it before. I think we found it. And it's not very good.
Anyway, he made an impact and then he started doing live shows, DJing, where he would end up singing. And so that led to this single, his cover of I Found Lovin'. The archetype of the genre of South London soul. Don't know what that means. Was there a South London soul movement,
I presume?
There was
a soul scene there. Was soul, yeah, there was a whole scene.
He then went on to work with Michaela Strachan on a show called Boogie Box.
She did a lot of music TV, didn't she, Strachan? Oh, she was on the Hitman and Her as well, wasn't she?
Yeah. She also released a song herself in the late 80s through Stockman, Aiken & Waterman.
Was it only one tune she did? Didn't she do
it was
a clutch of tunes?
I can't remember.
I think it was two or three.
She did a clunge of tunes, I know that. That song's awful. Yeah. It's like there's that thing Stuart Millard's video where he talks about the Royal Variety performances. There's a whole bit where Pete Waterman comes out, doesn't he, and goes, "Here's all my artists," and then he brings out
and it's Michaela in one of
big
them
big fun,
well.
And Michaela comes out and Jason Donovan and Sonia.
Michaela
and
never,
Sinita.
She never hit as a star.
No,
isn't
but here's
strange?
The thing: they have all these different artists on singing songs. The music sounds exactly the same from track to track.
It's very formulaic.
Only the face of the band changes really. Because
Stock, Aitken and Waterman wanted to be. They came from that same background, the soul, Northern soul and all of that sort of thing. And they were modelled themselves on Motown. So they wanted to have, that
hooks
was part of the plan, but it was to have a unified sound, the way that Motown did.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that unified sound at some point defines an era, but also shows how restricted they were with that sound.
Absolutely. And also some of the worst stuff from the 80s is when they're trying to sound like Motown.
But anyway. So he releases a few singles. He's doing live shows and DJing and things like that. And then this is where tragedy set in.
Steve Walsh was the biggest DJ on the club scene. He owed his fortune to black music, performing for 750,000 soul fans a year. It was as the singer of a Fatback band and classic, I Found Loving, that he scored an international hit. The 29-year-old DJ from Paddington, married with three children, was in Ibiza making a video for his new cover version single when disaster struck. His leg was badly shattered in a head-on road accident. Steve Wells spent two nights in a Spanish hospital before being flown back to London. The risks of surgery on the seriously overweight DJ were explained to him, but he decided to go ahead because he was told he could lose his leg otherwise. He died from heart failure yesterday at Paddington St Mary's Hospital.
I was due to work with him on several occasions over the next month or so, and it's the most upsetting thing, you know, because he's such a nice guy, and we got to know one another over the years very, very well, and it's a sad loss, it really is.
It was on a pirate radio station like this that Steve Walsh started his career. He gave top DJ CJ Carlos his break on the black music scene 8 years ago. They remained friends when their careers took a different turn, with Walsh joining Radio London for a twice-weekly show.
It's a big shock to the soul scene. It's going to be a big gap left by the man who's undoubtedly one of the great DJs around. And it's going to be a long time before anybody else is going to fill in his shoes.
An inquest into the DJ's death opens at Westminster Coroner's Court tomorrow. Mark Wadsworth, Thames News.
That's a horrendous tragedy.
But I was like, that's the interesting thing about him. He's a voice on local radio that helped develop a community through a love of a genre of music.
I know, but why does he get success because he's a white guy?
Well, yeah,
it's
right.
Except why he's the crossover. It's this weird sort of racism. And fine, he sounds like a great guy, whatever.
But also you got Tony Blackburn, right? Who kind of like brought all
that,
sorts of music to British ears, really, didn't he? It was a bit of Motown, a bit of disco, a bit of whatever. He was quite a connoisseur of genres.
I mean, it's fine. You know, I just think it's funny.
But either way, there's like all these
voices.
There's
a lot of innovators over the years, obviously.
And obviously at the BBC, back in the early 80s, there's not the diversity that they have now. So unfortunately, if there was a reasonably professional DJ who liked soul music, who had a big audience and could bring people to love it.
It works for them because he's white. That's all I'm saying.
But it's absolutely true. But again, it doesn't take away from his enthusiasm and genuine love for the genre.
And he does look extremely enthusiastic on the cover of this. Finger in the air.
Yeah, looks happy enough. And there's a pop video for it on YouTube. I'll put it on our website, but the pop video is him like getting out of a limo, going into a club, getting on stage, dancing and shouting with
Razzmatazz.
The crowd. Yeah.
He is quite earnest.
It's like a budget version of the Sussudio video,
it's
you know?
Terrible.
But the song itself, this cover...
Ooh, he wasn't a singer.
Heart in the right place, but
he wasn't a singer.
Vocally, no. A curio. The kind of curios
but
I love.
Also, you know, it's funny how you'd sort of unashamedly release this.
Yeah.
When you're into soul. And soul is, I mean, of all the sort of popular forms, the most dependent on the vocal performance.
Yeah, you know?
That's just a comment.
It's just an observation.
And also what I find a bit puzzling, if he's really into soul, is the choice of B-side song, which is Steams.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, nah, hey, hey, kiss him goodbye.
Nah, 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 nah.
Years, that song has been claimed to have been written by Lennon and McCartney.
Yes, I'm presuming that's not true.
No, absolutely not. Steam were like a studio group, and it was a massive hit.
What genre was that song then originally?
It's kind of
like
soul-y
disco?
Rock.
Disco?
Yeah, no. It's much earlier. It was from the late 60s, I believe. But it was...
It's also a song that's kind of been ruined by how it kind of came into the... pop culture consciousness, because it became something you would go when someone left a room who got their, you know, shit their face. It was like, nah, nah, nah.
That's why it's so powerful.
Hey,
kiss him goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's a pure football terrorist chant.
So it's got a kind of loutish feel to it now, unfortunately.
And they do play it at sporting events in the US.
Yeah, of course. But not this version by Steve Walsh.
Now, but so I think it's sort of like this weird, it's not a real soul, it's not a soul standard. It's not like Mustang Sally.
No, because the production's too 80s. It's too...
No, I mean the choice of song itself.
Oh,
it's
the
not,
song itself, the B-side.
Soul, a champion of soul would choose a soul song. And that's just a weird pop oddity song that reeks of a sort of someone who is not a real musician just trying to think of... It's a lazy choice for B-side, is what I'm saying.
The other song he... I agree it's a lazy choice, but I also think he released it on the basis that it was a party hit. It was something you could get away with and get the crowd going.
Yes, it's that populism of the tune itself that...
He did release one other song in 1988. I mean, I found love in this track. Got to number 9 in the UK charts.
Are you shitting
me? No, according in 1987. Then he did Let's Get Together Tonight. Don't know that track. That got to number 74.
Again, very generic title, I don't know.
And then in 1988, he released Ain't No Stopping Us Now.
McFadden and Whitehead.
Yes.
It does do the original, and that is, we were talking about it the other day, that's the Sound of Philadelphia, Gamble and Huff's label.
Is it his song?
No. Stevie Walsh did not do the original of Ain't No Stopping Us Now. It's McFadden and Whitehead.
No, but this song, Let's Get Together Tonight.
Maybe he sang that, yeah. I can believe he wrote that.
I can believe he... But I quite like the production on that. It's got that perfect 80s... Bow, bow, bow.
It's a boogie sound on those synths. And, yeah.
So, okay, splatter or platter. I'm going to say platter. This is right up my street for the story behind it.
I can't go that far.
That's fine.
But, yeah.
I'm giving it a platter for...
I'm going to say splatter because it's unpleasant to listen to.
Fine. But I like the overall story behind
it.
I like the history.
This is the problem with this segment being a binary, you see now, because it's hard to conceptually...
Binary thinking is very limited thinking.
It's limited thinking.
It is.
And it's hard to be nuanced.
It is, unfortunately, the format of this
so
segment.
So it is a splatter for me.
And it's a platter for me.
But can I just say one thing before we move on, Paul?
Yes.
If you do want... A fantastic version, and for me, the best version of
Goodbye.
No, Hey, Kiss Him Goodbye. Go for the Pioneers.
Pioneers,
Jamaican,
everyone.
But it is the soul version that they do.
All right.
It's not like a reggae version. They are a Jamaican group.
But it's
just pure, straight-up soul.
I look forward to
with
hearing
a great
it.
Great drum. Right. The Pioneers, Hey, Nah, Nah.
I'm done now.
Nah, Nah, Hey, Nah, Nah. Kiss Him Goodbye.
Right, nah, we finished saying Nah, 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 Nah.
Hey, Nah, Nah, Nah.
Hey. It's a bit of a Tommy Squeaker. Listen, let's change gears and have a bit of disco now. This track is called The Best Dreams. And what I love is that this is a disco song for the Burnley Building Society. Take it away.
Dreams of all are the ones you got. Building in the Burnley, dreaming about a pile of money, dreaming about wedding rings. When you're saving with the Burnley Building Society, that's where your dreams begin. For once in your life you'll find a new kind of peace of mind. Building a bright new home. Home is where the heart is. Planning your life today, 'cause tomorrow ain't far away. You and your family are safe in our hands. You can dream a little, you can dream a lot, but the best dreams of all are the ones you got. Building in the burn.
So I think you can imagine that just to the ear, it's a pretty shitty disco track. Would you agree? And it's a song, it's a disco track about living big dreams, and you can do it all through the Burnley Building Society.
You can. Can I have a little look at the cover, please, Paul?
Yes, you can. And explain what the cover looks like.
Well, you've got a couple dressed in white. They are white people. The man is pointing to the right, the lady pointing to the left, and their arms are together.
It's a
They're
Saturday
on a big
night
dance floor. It's
a
Saturday
Night Live kind of image, isn't
not
it?
Live.
Saturday Night Image Live. Saturday Night Streets. Saturday Night Living. Fever. Fever. Two syllables. First syllable.
You know who feels like they're having a fever now?
Me. I actually do feel quite poorly right now.
Also, our listeners, it's like a fever dream.
I think the horsey
biscuits. Wake up. Wake up.
I think the horsey biscuits have done something strange
those
to me.
Those horse biscuits. Yeah. You reacted to the horse biscuits.
I think I've had a bit of a problem with the horse biscuits.
You never know. You might be allergic to horse, mate. Which is a problem for the job you do on the weekends. You know?
It's not. I don't have
That's
to.
That's because if you're developing an allergy to horse.
I wear gloves.
How are you going to drink all that horse cum that you gulp down?
I never
on
said
video?
I drank it. I never said I drank it.
Oh, they just shoot it over your
no,
head.
No, it's the old Bob Monkhouse trick. You take a bite and spit it out when they shout cut. So I go, oh!
You take a bite of a horse's cum.
No, what I'm saying, though, it's like Bob Monkhouse did the Mars bar advert and he used to get sick eating all the Mars bars. And someone went, well, just spit it out after they shout cut. You don't have to swallow the fucking thing.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, all I do for those films is that you go, oh,
those
oh,
films
oh,
you
oh,
make,
oh,
yeah,
oh,
on the weekends with horses.
Cut. And I go, because I can't, okay. I can't, you know what I mean?
They're on a big dance floor. Here, there's people clapping in silhouette. So it's a party going on.
Yes.
And there's no indication of any Building Society business at all from the cover.
Apart from the lyrics. And this is something.
Well, their
you
lyrics aren't on the cover, Paul. They're
on the back.
On the back, though. They are on the back. Who wrote the lyrics, Paul?
Well, I want to just put a button in that for a minute, because I just want to say, Burnley Building Societies gave this away if you opened up an account with them. I presume it was based on some kind of promotion. Maybe it was on TV, because it looks like there was a video made from what I can see.
The image on the cover looks like it could be a still from a quite expensive advert of the era.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul. What date are we talking
about? I think that's 1979 that I found out in the end.
Finally, nice detail on the label.
Yeah.
They've gone for an old school 45 RPM symbol there.
To tell you what revolutions to listen at.
Yeah, but it's that design is what you see on old records of the 60s. But no, it's much more of a Motown, funnily enough.
Is it?
That's on the British issues of the Motowns would have that big 45 symbol there on the label.
So
I wanted to say one other thing.
Yeah.
Funny that this was given away when you opened an account, because we've covered another record.
Barclays, wasn't it?
The Barclays with the Noel Edmonds on one side and that really cool track by, what were they called?
I want to say Bread, but I don't think it was
Bread. They were called.
But it was a really good fucking track.
Living or something, the band was called. But it was a rocky thing.
Yeah.
Folky rocky thing.
No, it was like a kind of glam rocky thing.
Wasn't. It was like hard folky rock. It wasn't glam at all.
I remember it being a bit glam, like a
bit
sweet.
Had a rainbow. Do you remember the giveaway had a rainbow and a little little booklet.
Yes.
So it was more of a big deal than this.
It looked, I mean...
more of a presentation. It was actually a gatefold seven, wasn't it?
I mean,
it?
Mate, Barclays had that sick, sick Noel Edmonds money.
They
you
had
know?
The Noel Edmonds
they
money.
They went straight... Think about it, though. It makes sense, right? You go to the number one guy in the UK who's the face of the pop charts at that time. And Breakfast Radio, the most popular radio to listen to in that
he
era.
He coined it in.
Yeah, he coined it in. Pop, 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 coined it in.
He pop, so, coined it
listen,
in.
Give it here, because I want to get to why I picked this up. Because, yes, a disco track... made by Burnley Building Society with the lyrics involving, you know, building your dreams and getting a house
terribly,
and stuff.
Terribly,
right?
Terrible lyrics.
That's enough for me
and
to go...
Can we just talk about the vocal performance again?
Well, no, we'll get there in a minute. Okay. Let me get there in a minute. So, here's your context. It's a disco track. It's a little bit of music that says, build your dreams, blah, 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 Burnley Building Society. And then I was like, that's good enough for the podcast already. And then I looked at who wrote the song. Words and Music... Salman Rushdie. Salman Rushdie wrote this. The guy from the Satanic Verses.
The guy who is a famous award-winning
author.
Author of the genre known as magic realism, Paul.
So, and as most people will probably know him about the fatwa he had on him because of the book he released, which upset certain religious groups. So I was like, why the fuck did Salman Rushdie write a disco track for the Burnley Building Society?
Because he worked for an ad agency.
It was, it turns out. It did. I didn't know this at all because I was like, oh, what was he doing around about then? And it turns out that when he came to the UK, he began work as a copywriter for the advertising agency Ogilvy and Mather. Is that how you
Mather.
Pronounce it?
Mather.
Where he came up with the irresistible phrase for Aero chocolate.
Oh.
And also came up with the naughty but nice for the cream cakes.
That's genius. Naughty but nice, isn't it?
Just look at that. Light as a feather and trembling with naughtiness. Of course, the trouble with me is I never could say no.
Fresh cream cakes. Naughty.
But nice.
He wrote the line, that'll do nicely for American Express.
I love his work. I'm loving his work. I like that irresistible bubble. That's great.
Yeah, no, is it, you know...
And also Naughty But Nice. That's all-time classic,
they fell into the parlance of us growing up. I remember saying shit like that, you
he
know?
He came up with it.
Naughty But Nice.
Very simple, but I mean, he was obviously a good ad guy. Copywriter.
Was Nash, that'll do nicely, was that the animated credit card thing?
Yes, I believe so.
Or was that Gyro?
No, it wasn't the animated card.
No, it was. It was animated, because remember, Gyro was the other card who was hopeless. Oh, here's Gyro.
I think these were ads where it was
welcome
like...
Welcome to Old Men Remember. Incorrectly.
It was just some guy who's like, I'm at a shishi place, and it's like, someone's like, I haven't got the money or whatever, and then he goes, here's my...
American Express, he goes, that'll do nicely,
yes.
Because there will always be the quiet weekend away.
Queen Anne's suite and dinner. And then there are the bar bills for your little celebration last night.
Michael, the car isn't big.
All right, Anna, all right, we'll get another one.
The better alternative.
Yes, that'll do nicely.
The impromptu lunch. There will always be the American Express card. Welcome around the world. And just around the corner.
American Express.
Oh, that'll do nicely.
To apply, take a form. The American Express card.
I used to say that when I was making love to ladies. I would go up to them and say, unzip it
when
and go.
You used to make love to ladies.
Yeah, say, would you like this? And
before
they would
the
say,
horse work.
And then I would make them say, that'll do nicely.
Paul.
And then I'd pop them the old slippery finger. Anyway.
The finger after you've been, that's strange.
It doesn't matter. Anyway. And then he collaborated.
Fine, if that's what you want to do.
And then during his time as a copywriter, he worked with a musician called Ronnie Bond and created this song, which was sung by George Chandler, Eli Silverman. Tell me more about George Chandler.
He was in a group called Olympic Runners, a Brit funk group.
Yeah.
Very much in the same scene that Steve Walsh would have been involved with.
Yeah, good point.
They were multi-ethnic. They had black guys and white guys in the Olympic Runners. I like Olympic Runners. They do disco and they did a lot of funk. It's funk and disco, essentially.
Anyway.
Some good tunes. And their biggest tune...
Well,
Sir Dance-a-Lot.
Yes, yeah.
Which
that's
is very much disco-y, boogie-y.
Boogie-woogie.
But can I just say one other thing that occurred to me?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird how American Express is always like, oh, yes, that'll do nicely. We're the high prestige card.
Yes.
And in fact, you see everywhere in restaurants, shops, all over the place, we don't take American Express.
Not any fucking more anyway.
No,
as
but
well.
You see those signs everywhere, don't you?
That won't
no
do nicely.
No Amex. It's always, there's no Amex everywhere in London. So it's like, it's a fucking useless card.
It is now, especially more so now anyway, because of PayPal and Google Pay and all those fucking things.
I guess
things.
So, but...
But yeah, it's all...
Sorry, I just wanted to bring that up, because it's funny that that'll do nicely. It fucking won't do at all.
For extra information, Ronnie Bond, the other guy who helped write this for Salman Rushdie, he was in the Trog Trogs in the early days. He was the original. He was one of the drummers in the early years of the Trogs.
Ah.
Who, as everyone might know, did "Lovers All Around You," isn't it?
Wild Thing.
Yeah, and Wild Thing as well. Yeah. So they probably get nice. Well, I'm about to say they probably get good residuals, but I'm guessing because of the makeup of that band and how many members came and went in that time, I bet it's really fucking difficult to get money their way.
Also, everyone in that era, the 60s, was totally ripped off terribly by the record bosses, weren't
they?
Oh,
yeah.
So they ended up with bullshit.
The labels took all the.
They didn't get the residuals. Yeah. Same old story. Yeah.
So just to wrap this up, if you're interested, Burnley Building Society was incorporated. It doesn't
exist anymore, right?
No, it was at the time the largest building society in Lancashire and the sixth in the whole of the United Kingdom. They had a motto, "By service, we progress." Anyway, eventually they merged with Abbey National in 1996.
Yeah, they all do in the
end. And then Abbey National disappeared, didn't it, eventually?
Yeah, they all do in the
end. And yeah, because all the building societies closed when they went public to make money for owners and stocks, and then banks bought them.
They all do in the end.
There you go. They all do in the end, don't they? That's the story. Now we need to judge dreams.
And we should say the B-side, Paul. Don't forget the B-side.
Don't forget the B-side. Just a nice piece. Well, it's not a nice piece of music at all. It's called Dream On. It's instrumental, and it's just this song without the singing.
Without George Chandler, which does improve it slightly because it's really bad. I mean, I like Olympic Runners, but it's not the vocals from the Olympic Runners that really stand out.
No, but I also think the mix of this doesn't serve his voice particularly well.
No,
anyway.
And it feels rushed, doesn't it? The whole production.
It feels more like he sang over a karaoke track rather than
the track that they played on the B-side. Yeah. So,
and they haven't mixed it very well because his voice sounds brighter than the actual disco track underneath.
And it doesn't sound like he's well rehearsed in the song either, does it?
Good Earth Studios. It was recorded in, just for those listening who want to know.
That's a Good Earth. That's very
well known and respected.
It is well known.
Okay,
I'm sure.
There
you
go. So, is it a splatter or a platter?
It's another splat for me. I'm sorry, Paul.
I mean, apart from the novelty of it all and Salman Rushdie, I would also go with splatter as well.
So we've got one platter because you were interested in Stevie Walsh.
Yeah. And look, here's the thing. I could put that on maybe at a disco and people might carry on dancing.
No.
But I couldn't do that. I said
no, you'd have better chance of putting that on at a disco. I'm sorry.
So hang on. If you were doing a Blues Kitchen and you put this or that on, you think this would go down better than that?
Undoubtedly.
Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there? Right.
Wouldn't that be great if I had the balls to do that?
Just drop in Steve Walsh.
Oh, we're so bad.
Or a Salman Rushdie disco hit, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. Here we go. Right, let's wrap this fucking show up.
It's always the same, isn't it?
It's always the same. We come
to the
end.
They all do in the end.
They all do in the end.
All podcasts, Paul.
They all do in the
end. They all do come to it.
They all do in the end. Come to the end. In the end, they come to the end in the end, don't they?
They all do in the end.
Stop saying this because I want to actually do the admin and move on.
Oh, go and do the fucking admin then, you twaz.
Right, so if you want anything Cheap Show related in your life, your one-stop shop is our website, thecheapshow.co.uk.
.uk.
For there is a page for nearly every single episode we've made with pictures and sometimes videos to give you added context.
Pictures and videos.
Our podcast is in part supported by our fantastic Patreon supporters who give what they can, but only if they can, monthly.
Scruffle, laffle, laffle.
And that
extra beard wipe.
And that is patreon.com/cheapshow. There are years of extra podcasts and commentaries and behind the scenes and videos and walkabouts and magazines and all sorts.
Kasprungle!
At the different tiers, you'll get different access to different things, but go and explore it. And if you want to help support this podcast, patreon.com/cheapshow.
McScruggle, McScruggle.
And our website's also a one-stop shop for our links to YouTube, social media platforms. Wherever you want to find us, you'll find us. We're on all platforms. And also, importantly, if you do enjoy us and you like us, spread the word. Social media is burning up around the planet. And so if you really want us to grow and you want to help us do that, then yeah, give us a retweet, give us a like, tell your friends, that kind of thing. Review us on places like Good Pods or Spotify. We can review an episode and that bubbles us up to the service where we might get spotted.
You know what might bubble up? You spread my beard out.
Yeah, your fat chin.
A little glob.
Your weird fat chin.
I haven't got a weird fat chin. Why do you have to attack me? I wasn't saying anything about you. I was doing something about my beard.
You said my glasses made me look like a psychopath.
They really do, Paul, and it's quite disturbing.
I disagree. What else is there? Okay, so yeah, if you were a patron as well, you could also get very early access to our live show in October at the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival. So if you want to get early access to tickets, you can become a patron. The tickets don't go on sale for the general public until I think June, where they announced the lineup officially.
Oh, they haven't yet. Okay, no. So this is still relevant to the patrons.
Only way to get tickets right now and early access and secure your seat at that show.
And you can listen also, if you're a patron, to the other two episodes currently existing of Night Bussing.
Oh, yes.
Our little spin-off podcast where me and Paul get on a night bus.
It's that simple. And we just nitter natter away. You may have heard it an episode or two ago. That was our pilot. But for any other episodes going forward, Patreon only if you're interested. What else? Bartians magazines. Also now available with Patreon. That we had a great response to our Bartian reunion thing, so that's been nice to see. I think that's it, isn't it, admin wise? Got the live show and reveal us online and stuff, and
please listen to my House of Pickled sound show, my music radio show on Soho Radio every 2 weeks on a Sunday, 2 till 4.
And that's it, I think, for this week on the podcast. Now I'm gonna have to go and get a mop and clean out his pod, because he can't afford another professional crew to go in and clean all that out.
Why do you even worry? He adds nothing.
If I came into your room and just come everywhere, you wouldn't be happy with that, would you?
So what? That's a machine. I don't give a shit. I care about the dog.
Mate, he's got
feelings.
I've
been feeding the rounding
Trackbot
dog.
Trackbot is the latest in
AI. I've been feeding the rounding dog.
What have you been feeding it?
Potassium-rich foods.
Mate, you're going to make...
Magnesium and potassium-rich foods, if you know what I mean.
Mate,
it adds to the the weightage.
Oi, it's going to come out real thick and creamy.
Randy!
Get that dog away from me. Come on. Come on now. Come on. Trackbot don't need this. Trackbot don't need this. No. 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 Mucky puppy.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, goodbye, everyone. Only what podcast ends with a dog coming on a robot?
I mean, it keeps happening every time we... It always ends that.
It always goes that way, doesn't it? It always ends with a dog coming on a robot. It always happens.
Oh, really going for it.
It fucking stinks as well. That's just a really fucking eggy cum.
It must be all the potassium-rich foods
that's
I've been...
nasty.
I've been feeding him. I want that robot gone.
There's lashings of it on the carpet
as well.
There's
lashings everywhere.
I'm going to have to let it dry out and then beat it with a carpet beater.
Rolling it. You know, he's doing that thing that dogs do where he
rolling
rolls around
in his
muck.
Crackpot song. Bye, everyone.
Bye.